Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, Bet Online is the number one spot for your sports betting needs. Head over to the website and use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to the Olympic coverage, it's the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. Bet online, where the game starts.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered, powered by the Blave Podcast Network and presented by betonline.ag, the best sports betting website around. That's betonline.ag. Head on over to their website. Use promo code BLEAV, that's B-L-E-A-V, to take advantage of the March Madness bets going on right now. Win some money this March Madness season by going over to betonline.ag. Use promo code BLEAV. You will get 50% up. You're matching your initial deposit. That's 50% up to your initial deposit. Promo code BLEAV. I'm your co-host, Connor Miles of Eagles Unfiltered, and with my co-host, as always, Ed Crass. Ed, I wanted to get Rashard Cook onto this episode, you know, and start doing more co-hosting stuff with us, but he was a little bit busy today, and, you know, we did kind of have somewhat of breaking news. You know, this is a very slow-paced offseason for the Eagles, so them bringing in Indianapolis Colts former Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Zach Pascal now to a one-year deal is somewhat podcast-worthy to me with how this offseason is going. We have to address this. They finally bring in a wide receiver. We're all looking for it, but, you know, there's some kind of back and forth of, oh, this is it. And then there's some people that say, yeah, this is, you know, a good, reliable guy. I like this move. This is good for the depth. They needed more guys than just Quez and Devontae. Now, we've been writing about this since January, that Zach Pascal's probably going to be a future Philadelphia Eagle. I mean, I did that in January during my free agent articles that fit the Eagles. He was the first guy that popped in my mind. It was pretty obvious he was going to come to the Eagles. If you didn't know this, then you were living underneath the rock. I think everybody knew it. But I didn't think that would be their only move of wide receiver. I thought they needed to bring in two guys anyways. You know, when you only have two wide receivers you can lean on, that's not good. You know, say what you will about Greg Ward, but I think he's a wide receiver five. Jalen Reagor has not even been proven to be rosterable. As much as I like the guy, as much as I was wrong about the guy, as much as I just don't think he fits this team anymore in this offense, he needs to go have a change of scenery. I don't think he's rosterable for this where this offense is going. So you only go into this offseason with two guys. In this era of league, if you're going to commit to 11 personnel like Nick Sirianni would like, if you're going to have a more wide receiver-centric passing era of football, you need four wide receivers you can lean on. Only having two means the Eagles needed to bring in two. I don't think if they would have made this trade for Calvin Ridley, I don't think they would have stopped them from bringing in Zach Pascal, especially on a one-year deal that they signed him to. So I'm fine with this move, Ed. He's a slot receiver. He gives you options with Quez Watkins finally. They forced Quez Watkins into the slot last year because they wanted to get Jalen Reagor. his opportunities being where he was drafted and the politics behind that. They wanted to get Devontae Smith on the outside as much as possible. So I think that's what really forced Quez Watkins to be prominently the slot wide receiver for the Eagles last year. He's way more than a slot. He can do way more on the outside. He can take advantage of these physical corners on the outside that don't have the speed to match his. I like the move because that's what you can do. Now you can rotate Quez Watkins around. You have Zach Pascal, who's a pretty reliable option in the slot. Doesn't drop the football a ton. Nothing to excite you, but a more reliable guy. I know he's graded the 94th wide receiver out of PFF, out of 94 wide receivers, lower than Jalen Reagor, actually, but those grades are subjective, folks. The guy produces when the ball's targeted his way. I like the Zach Pascal addition. I just think they need to do more, and obviously this doesn't preclude them from doing such, especially on a one-year deal. I still, with all the options, you know, the Eagles went after Allen Robinson. They went after Robert Woods. They went after Calvin Ridley. They were in the Christian Kirk market. When all those options didn't failed, I still don't think they would have brought, even if they would have got one of those guys, Zach Pascal still comes in here. So I think they're going to go the draft route, Ed, as we predicted in our mock drafts, because a lot of our mock drafts had wide receivers going to the Eagles rather high. I still predict them to go into the wide receiver, go into the draft and draft wide receiver pretty high. I don't think Zach Pascal precludes that. I just think it gives you that fourth guy that you needed.
Well, I agree. I think, you mentioned Jalen Reagor not rosterable. Jalen Reagor is going to be on this team trade him. But you look at, if you just compare Rager's numbers to, Pascal's numbers, Pascal's got more production. He's got 15 touchdowns as an undrafted free agent in 2018. And, he came from Old Dominion, and he's now the second player the Eagles have from Old Dominion. Can you name who the other one is off the top of your head? Mini quiz here for you.
I know Travis Fulgham didn't go to Old Dominion, did he?
Well, he did, but he's not on the roster
anymore. Oh, yeah, so he's not on the roster anymore. I thought it was something over there.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy?
It's the long snapper, Rick Lovato.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have got that. Wow. I forgot that for sure.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But anyway, I think it's a good signing for sure. I mean, yeah, you're right. Watkins and Smith are the two receivers. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, I'm sure, will be released at some point during camp or after camp. I'm sure he'll come to camp, but maybe he doesn't. They may cut him, but I think he'll be in camp. This is a good deal, 1 year deal. And, to speak to free agency, it's kind of playing out the way I've talked about and written about, is with the salary cap that the Eagles had. And I know, they were in the talks with Marcus Williams, but I can pretty much tell you for sure that the Eagles weren't going to meet whatever he was asking. All these reports that they were there and they made an offer. It might have been an offer, but it wasn't a competitive offer, and there was no way Marcus Williams was going to take it. To me, the way I wrote and the way I talked was, the Eagles have one big splurge, and you can define splurge however you want. To me, it's a double-digit million player per year, and they signed that guy, Hassan Reddick. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to go, the exorbitant number with Christian Kirk. Yeah, they talk numbers, I guess. But again, Kirk's not going to come to the Eagles for less than what he was going to get with Jacksonville.
No.
So to me, this is what free agency was going to be about with the Eagles. They restructured Darius Slay's contract, and they got, I think, $11 million from that restructure over the weekend. So, they have a little extra money under the cap. But to me, I don't think they were ever getting one. More than one big ticket free agent, and that big ticket free agent is Hassan Reddick. And now I think we're just going to kind of see a series of 1 year deals with these players. I think they want to get Honey Badger, Tyran Matteau, on a 1 year deal. I'm not sure he's in that neighborhood yet. He's still a very productive player, even though he's 31 or 32 years old.
Ed, I got to correct you there. Did you just call him Tyran Matteau?
Tyran Matteau, yeah.
Tyran Matthew.
That
might be the one time, though, folks. I'll just say this. That's the one time Ed has not been able to pronounce a name, and I have. Because it's usually the other way around. He's pronouncing them for me, and I'm finishing them out.
Yeah, but I try to pronounce the way it's spelled, because I spell a lot of these names rather than talk them out. And Matteau is M-A-T-H-I-E-U. So I always
Do you really think the Eagles will be in on him, though? You really think they are?
I think he would be a good fit for Gannon's defense. Absolutely. Yeah. I think he would be a real – and listen, the Eagles' philosophy in free agency is try to get players at positions where they need bodies. They need talent. They need depth.
Right.
So they can go into the draft and not have to say, man, we are really shorthanded at this position. We need to go off our board and take this player at this position because we're short there. And to me, even though they're bringing back Anthony Harris, they're still short there. They still need somebody else, I think, at that safety position to come in. Now, you could draft somebody and you have that veteran Harris and add him to the mix with Epps. So maybe you could say, okay, they're not really desperate at safety. And to me, they're not really desperate in any position anymore now that they locked up this wide receiver, Zach Pascal.
I'd still say receiver. Safety for sure, though.
Yeah.
Because
I'm just saying in free agency. I mean, I think
right.
In the draft, you don't have to go. You can go into the draft now with just Pascal as your signing and say, okay, you know, we still need more receivers, but you know what? We don't have to reach and go off our board. If one's there that we like at this spot, we'll take him, but we don't need to, you know, overreach because we need a wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I agree with you for sure. That's what usually what they do anyways, but you know, bringing back Anthony Harris, I thought was a little bit interesting because I think if you would say who was the better safety last year for the Eagles, I'd probably say McLeod. Because Anthony Harris really didn't catch on until after week 9. I thought he started playing better then. But, you know, it was interesting to have – this is where I wanted to have Rashard's input on this. And I asked him in this recent episode that I did with him, how hard is it to implement a scheme year one for a defense, especially a secondary? And he said it best. It's incredibly hard. It takes time. You know, nothing's going to look perfect year one. So my thinking is if they bring Anthony Harris back and they decide not to bring McLeod back, they must clearly think that he's better than what he showed, obviously, because you brought him back. And the second of all is that it was more of the defense trying to figure itself out under this new scheme, whereas he was a victim of that. Because, I mean, again, one year, $2.5 million is nothing, though. That's nothing for – it seemed pretty much like the because, again, we were wrong. They brought back Fletcher Cox. He is still going to be a Philadelphia Eagle. Thank God we were wrong about that, to be honest with you. I thought it was over. So did you, but thank God we were wrong. But it seemed like the money –
30%. I thought 30% chance he was coming back. Obviously, it was way too
– I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Still, I thought he was going to be good as gone, so I'm glad that he's back. But – the money that they pretty much saved from his contract seemed like it went to Boston Scott and Anthony Harris, basically, to bring those guys back.
Yeah.
Your theory about this, maybe they actually use these three first-round picks, or even if they have two, that's a lot of salary you got to allocate to those two guys alone. That's two first-round pick contracts you got to take on. In this, even if you do use all three, they're all in the same range of picks. It's 15, 16, and 19. They clearly know that. We need to start being more aware of that, I think.
Well, I mean, I was kind of aware. I mean, I kind of figured this is how free agency would play out. Everybody wants these big names and they want to, you know, bring in 3-4 huge names at these big exorbitant numbers. It's just not going to happen. Howie's not going to play in that playground. And especially with, you know, the salary cap being what it is, he restructured Slay. Everybody's expecting that he'll restructure Javon Hargrave, but you know, we learned over the weekend that Jordan Davis is going to be one of their one of the 30 visits from the Eagles. Jordan Davis is going to visit the Eagles facility. Man, I really think, you know, he could be in play at 15 and 16.
Oh, no, no doubt.
In the draft. So, I mean, to me, the Eagles splash was going to come in the draft. Everybody thought, well, okay, let's get it done in free agency. But I knew that wasn't going to be the case. I knew they weren't going to go out and sign Williams and Reddick and Robinson.
You're saying that?
Yeah. So, I mean, you had one crack at the apple, one bite at the apple, and they bit on Reddick. And now you're going to try to patch some holes like Zach Pascal, you know, maybe Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger. Maybe he's a 2-year contract guy. But again, you know, the money has to be monitored. And everybody says, oh, well, you can, you know, the salary cap is, it's a myth. It really isn't. I mean, you have a number that you have to come in under. The Saints blew out the books to clear cap in case Deshaun Watson ended up there. It didn't happen, but they, you know, let go of some guys. They restructured a lot of guys. That's what the Eagles did last year just to be able to sign a few guys. I don't think Howie wants to keep doing that, you know, to restructure guys, because the Eagles have like the top five most dead money hit in the NFL. They're still paying dead money to Alshon Jeffrey, to Malik Jackson. I mean, they're $36 or $34 million in dead money this year. And a lot of that is because of the, you know, kicking the can down the road on these contracts that Howie does.
I'm so glad you're going this route instead of the route of, well, they re-signed their 2018 draft picks. Like everybody else is doing. That's pitiful to use that as a reason of why now you're not active. And I've seen there's multiple teams that had successful 2018 draft picks that are very active in free agency right now and making trades. What the hell is that? I was like, there's four reporters that said that and made that tweet. I was like, wow, Howie really texted them a script and they went right off of it. And they all said the same thing. Like, that's silly, Bimmy, man. You're saying, oh, well, we got to keep four core players of our 2018 draft. That's where our money went to. Come on, man. You have a lot of freed up money because your 2019 first round pick's not going to get a second deal with you. Neither is your 2020. Your 2019, both your second round picks in 2019 aren't going to get second deals with you, I think. I know you said something about the Miles Sanders extension, but that was your opinion. As of right now, I don't think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's just what I'm saying. That's more freed up money than the money you're investing in your tight end, who tight ends get severely underpaid anyways for the production that they give up. That's your defensive end, who I think you signed a little bit early because you think he's going to become this great defensive end, which I agree, but you signed him a little early just so you can avoid paying him what top defensive ends get paid. And then your nickel corner. Nickel corners get underpaid all the time. And those aren't huge contracts. I thought that was silly. Look, Jordan Mulata is great. Jordan Mulata is an anomaly, though. Like, that was complete luck. Wonder how that was such complete luck, Ed? They went into the draft the year after they took Jordan Mulata, and they picked a left tackle with their first-round pick. That's how lucky they were to pan out on Jordan Mulata. They didn't even expect it to happen. Right. So when I saw that excuse out there for, like, look, I am not a Howie hater. I think he's a great GM, to be honest with you. The grass is not always greener, folks. I firmly believe that, especially watching around the league. All these teams going through GMs or these GMs making awful moves. I'm very fortunate that they do have Howie Roseman. But you can be frustrated with this offseason and criticize him at the same time. I think that's no problem at all. I just don't think he's not trying, though. He did, like you're saying, he did try for Marcus Williams. There was just a money threshold. And the last time that there was a money threshold on the safety position that they said, never mind, we'll go somebody else, that ended up being the right move. Jarius Burr was awful for the Saints. Mm-hmm. They got Malcolm Jenkins. I'm not saying Anthony Harris is going to be Malcolm Jenkins. Like, don't believe that at all. But if they pivot to a safety in this draft, there is a good chance that the safety in the draft that they get pans out better for them than Marcus Williams does for the Ravens. It's possible. It's possible.
Well, if it does, he's cheaper. I mean, that's the thing that the draft gives you, is it gives you controllable players, cheap labor, they call it, you know, and that's really where they need to address the position.
But we all know how his personality right now, his ego's a little hurt. He's a little hurt that we're saying this offseason is a failure, which I don't think it is at all. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to feed this, we've invested a lot in our 2018 draft. That's a weak cop-out, man. What a weak cop-out, especially when you look at your 2019 and 2020 drafts. Come on, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. Hassan Reddick, you should probably, instead of saying that, you should say, hey, folks, how many times have we had a 10-plus sack edge rusher on the Eagles? It's been a while. It's been since Trent Cole. Why don't you take advantage of the signing I just made with Hassan Reddick, who's only getting better and who just 2 years ago found out how to really fit his calling in the league. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, he's only going to be better. That 3-year contract for the Eagles, he's going to be great every season during that 3-year deal, enough to get a second contract with the Eagles. So he should have went with that instead of, hey, why don't you take advantage of my 2018 draft class and me paying them? I thought that was silly. Yeah. I think we should be grateful that they even got an edge rusher that actually that makes consistent pressure, because when they missed out on Harold Landry, because I know that was true. What you said was completely true. It's been verified also as well. They were interested in Harold Landry before they. I honestly believe the Eagles forced the Titans to make that pay for Harold Landry, because they went right back into it and got the second best edge rusher behind Harold Landry and Hassan Reddick. So I firmly believe the Eagles were in on Landry.
Yeah, they were.
But I know it's been confirmed. I'm just saying. It's obvious that they were.
But I'm grateful that they even went that route, Ed. We all assumed they were going to go to the draft and take an unproven commodity in the NFL and hope that he could be the guy. They got somebody that I know can be the guy in the NFL, in Haason Reddick. And they're going to add to that still and draft another guy. So I'm content with this offseason because Calvin Ridley would be an Eagle if he didn't do a stupid freaking bet. And Haason Reddick is finally the first edge rusher that can generate 10-plus sacks since Trent Cole. So, of course, I'm happy with how it's going so far. I'm ecstatic. But when not everybody else is, throw the Haason Reddick signing in their face. Throw his production in their face. Throw the fact you have the 3 first-round picks. Don't do this to I paid my 2018 class. That's the reason why I have to sit back. Come on, man. That's not good to say, especially when you're not really good at drafting as is. Well, anyways.
Yeah. I just think people tend to be short-sighted and they think it's a failure because, wow, we didn't sign anybody in free agency. But their splash is going to come in the draft. You have 5 picks in the top or in the first 2 days, right? You have 3 in the first, 1 in the second, 1 in the third. I mean, they're going to select 5 players unless they trade, and they could. But that's where their splash is going to come. They're going to – even if they trade one of those picks, they're going to get value for it. So you're talking about 5 chances in the draft in the first 2 days to get better. There's your splash. It's not going to come in free agency. And how many times do we see free agents not work out? They get the money, and then they just kind of lay down, and they're not as good as they were. To me,
Christian Kirk last 2 seasons in Jacksonville. 2.
Okay. I can see it.
There's no way he fulfills that contract. There's no way with that team. Anyways, let's move on to this wide receiver debate though. Cause I wanted to get your thoughts on this before we end the pod. And I mean, this is a great final discussion for the podcast. I see this debate going on. And I can see both sides of the argument. Absolutely, I can. So, as we mentioned, they missed out on... I'm going to scratch Calvin Ridley out because Calvin Ridley would have been perfectly content with being an Eagle. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. He would have welcomed that trade immediately and the Eagles would have welcomed him with open arms. No problem. Forget him. Because the other guys that didn't want to be an Eagle were Allen Robinson. He took the Super Bowl winning team. And Matt Stafford. All right. I completely understand that. Juju. Pat Mahomes. Better opportunities because your best seasons came when you had Antonio Brown. So why don't I go join Tyreek Hill? Have Pat Mahomes start at me. All right. Very reasonable. Robert Woods. I know everybody's up in arms about this, Robert Woods not picking the Eagles because I know Tannehill is not super great. You know, he's top 15, which is average for quarterbacks in the NFL. But he has a good deep ball. That Titans team has Derrick Henry running the ball. I know the Eagles have Jalen Hurts as their best running back. Because I do believe that. Jalen Hurts is their best quarterback and their best running back. I'm fine with saying that. But that's Derrick Henry. And Tannehill, he can throw deep. Not the best quarterback, but he can throw deep. I think it's a pretty good fit for Robert Woods. I can understand why he wanted to go there. And I fully believe that him and the Rams facilitated that move. They are very tight. And everybody in that organization respects and loves Robert Woods. I think they let him pick where he wanted to go. Christian Kirk. You're not paying. Eagles aren't paying that. Eagles were interested, and it makes complete sense why they were. His college coach... It's what college wide receivers coach is the Eagles wide receivers coach, Aaron Moorhead. It fits perfectly what they need, what the Eagles needed. And he's a good deep threat too. He's underrated. But Eagles aren't going to pay that, Ed. No. They're going to pay what Jacksonville paid.
Nope.
So I think a lot of people are wondering, from what I've seen, are they not picking the Eagles because of Jalen Hurts? Or is it because the Eagles aren't going to be given what these wide receivers want? I think Allen Robinson, for the example of him not picking the Eagles, you know, I thought it was a little bit funny. He complains on Twitter that my targets have gone down in Chicago. But then he goes to the Rams, and his target's going to go down even more than they did in Chicago. But he also has a chance to compete for Super Bowl. That's the only one that I thought maybe you can debate, just pick the better quarterback in that instance. What do you think, man? Do you think it's because Jalen Hurts and this run-first philosophy of what this offense presents itself is the reason why the Eagles are struggling to get wide receivers, or do you just think it's because it's the money and the Eagles aren't going to do that?
Well, a lot of it has to do, to me, free agency. The players are trying to get paid. You know, I'll never forget when the Eagles signed Byron Maxwell to the big contract back when Chip Kelly was here, and he admitted in the locker room was, I'm going to go wherever who's paying me the most money. And, you know, he was very candid about that. And that's true for like 99% of these guys. They're going to go where the money is. Christian Kirk would have been foolish to turn down the deal to come to the Eagles. I mean, you could say that there may be a little bit of, okay, they run the ball too much. We don't know what Jalen Hurts is. But to me, it's all about money. What did Allen Robinson get? What was his deal? Like 3 years for $46 or $47 million? $45.
He did get a lot of money.
The Eagles aren't going to pay that. Come on. I mean, he didn't come here because, oh, Jalen Hurts is our quarterback. Oh, the Eagles run the ball too much. He went for the money. Bottom line. So did Christian Kirk. You could make a case of Juju Smith-Schuster. We don't know what the Eagles offered him. I don't know what he got to go to Kansas City for 1 year. But, okay, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs, Super Bowl contender, Robert Woods to Tennessee. The Titans were the number one seed in the AFC this year, and then they laid an egg in the playoffs, and they got beat. But those are two teams. And Robert Woods is 30 years old, something like that, coming off an ACL. He had a big number on his contract. I don't know if the Titans restructured that or not, but I'm not sure the Eagles would have paid whatever it was that Woods was going to get in that contract. So, again, it comes down to me to money. You know, maybe a little piece of it is, well, some hesitation, the Eagles run too much or Hurts, but to me, it's all about the bottom line, and that's dollars and cents. And these receivers took the money, and they were the teams giving up the most money. So to kind of say that just doesn't make sense to me, because it's always about the money, and these guys came out and they took the money, and that's the bottom line.
I just think it is interesting, though. Alshon took less to come to the Eagles on a prove-it deal. It was a prove-it contract, though, and the Eagles did reward him for it. Torrey Smith chose against, because Alshon chose against Indianapolis and Minnesota when he came to the Eagles. Torrey Smith chose against his own team that drafted him, the Baltimore Ravens, to go to the Eagles. And both of them immediately said one of the major reasons was Carson Wentz. Now, okay, and that could just be crap they're selling to the media, because, of course, you want money. But Alshon's deal was a one-year deal. It was a high one-year deal, but it was still a one-year deal. There's no such thing as a bad one-year deal in my books. I know the hype around Carson Wentz at the time. I know he threw 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. They were 7-9, but there was a lot of hype coming out of Carson Wentz during that from that 2016 draft. I think that played into why receivers wanted to play with him. But at the same time, I agree with you too, because free agency is all about money. That's what these guys chase after, because I do believe Trevor Lawrence is going to be great, but again, he's still unknown. And I don't think that crossed Christian Kirk's mind at all once he heard those dollar signs.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
Stafford he is really the top three quarterback in the NFC now. For sure. I believe that for sure. There's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and Matt Stafford. So I can understand Al Robinson's standpoint, I guess. I know the money helped too.
Oh, 3 years, $47 million. Well, the Eagles aren't paying that for a 28-year-old, 29-year-old guy who didn't have the production that he, you know, normally has last year. There's just no way. I mean, the only one I could really take issue with, I guess, would be Juju Smith-Schuster. But then, okay, Jeffrey came to go play with Carson Wentz. It's certainly logical that if the Chiefs are going to offer you something that you're comfortable with money-wise, and I'm going to go play with Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are a threat to go to the Super Bowl every year with Mahomes playing quarterback. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. And again, Woods, you know, big number in that contract. Don't know if it was restructured. I'm not sure the Eagles would have paid it. Maybe there was negotiations about a contract and Woods didn't feel comfortable with those. Because the Eagles, you know, they're not going to go above the value they set. But then again, the Titans are also the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. Maybe he feels, you know what, I'm 30 years old. I have an ACL. Not sure how many years I got left to try to win a Super Bowl here. And I think the Titans are a little further ahead than the Eagles in that department. And he wouldn't be wrong.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. I agree. I thought it was an interesting debate. Because yeah. I think that's a debate that's raging on, but I do have to tend to agree with your side of it is that, you know, money talks.
no matter what, because look what Kenny Golladay did. Kenny Golladay doesn't care that Daniel Jones was his quarterback when they threw out that $72 million deal. He didn't even catch a touchdown last year because of that.
Yeah.
So I do hear you. It is about money, because he had an opportunity to play for Lamar Jackson or Daniel Jones, and he picked Daniel Jones. And the reason why is because Giants gave him the bag.
Absolutely.
It definitely
right.
matters. It definitely does matter. But I think the best route for the Eagles was Calvin Ridley, and obviously that's not possible. Yeah. So what's the second best option anyways, other than what free agency came up with anyways? Because to me, it was always going to be the draft. And they couldn't get Calvin Ridley. You couldn't convince me I wanted to get one of these free agent wide receivers. I'm going to be honest with you right now. It just wouldn't make sense. Because I said it before, and I'll say it again. And I said it before free agency started. I think it would be dumb to invest large money into a free agent wide receiver when you're still trying to develop a passing offense. That doesn't make sense to me. I would want to invest money in a free agent big-time wide receiver when I have an established passing offense. That's when it makes sense to me. Now, I had arguments about this because people said, well, you can't, how do you develop a passing offense if you don't have viable options? You got viable options from drafting. Devontae Smith is very viable. Dallas Goedert is incredibly viable. Quez Watkins proved to you he's viable now. Why not continue that pattern while you're developing a passing offense? Because those guys, when you draft a wide receiver, you're not paying them until year four of them being in the NFL.
Yeah.
By then, you definitely have things in order. Free agency, when you get that wide receiver, that huge contract right away, you better get it right year one. You better. It better look good year one, or you're going to look bad at the end of the year. You might lose your job. So. Yeah. That's my point. That was always my point. No way did I want the Eagles to go spend for a wide receiver. Calvin Ridley made too much sense to me because he already knew the quarterback's limitations. He thrived with them already. He knows where to be. They already have chemistry. That's why I was okay with that. And Calvin Ridley doesn't really need a strong arm quarterback. He thrives on the slants. He thrives on short yardage and getting a bunch of yak. That's why I wanted him. He's still young. Still 27. Of course I wanted Calvin Ridley. Yeah. But that didn't force the Eagles to go out and, you know, give Christian Kirk $21 million per year. That didn't force the Eagles to go out and give Allen Robinson 3 years, $45 million. You know, that's why I was okay with it. Because if you don't have an established passing offense, there is no reason to be investing in a large resource at wide receiver until you're there. So I'm always was team route. Go ahead and draft one. Treylon Burks, to be exact, because if you saw my mock draft, that's who I had the Eagles taking. But Garrett Wilson is incredibly fine with me. Chris Olaf is great with me. I'll welcome any wide receiver that they draft. Even if they don't have to in the first round. Mm-hmm. They don't. They can mm-hmm. go. I mean, if Drake London is not a guy in the first round they like either, then go ahead. George Pickens from Georgia. David Bell from Purdue. That's fine. I think the best thing about drafting a wide receiver this time around, rather than during the Peterson era, is that you actually have a guy that can develop wide receivers. You have stability at wide receivers, coach. You didn't have that with Peterson. You didn't have that with Chip Kelly. Now you do. So go ahead and drive the wires. Don't be afraid to. It worked beautifully with Devontae. And I think the changing in coaching definitely helped with that. And you have stability at those receiver positions finally, coaching-wise. So, of course, I'm on team draft wide receiver. I know that everybody has said they've reached their quota for that. They have enough young wide receivers. They need to focus on developing those guys. But I still think if your passing offense hasn't developed itself, you better keep adding options and develop them as well in order to do so.
Yeah. I think they could have used the veteran receiver for sure. Pascal's what, 27 years old, been in the league for 4 years, 2018.
I consider him a veteran receiver though. If you have to be an undrafted receiver and carve your way into this league to get a role, you're a veteran to me because you beat out a ton of people to get that to where you're at.
Yeah. And you know, I'll say this about the draft, and I agree they need to take a receiver somewhere, I would think, in the first 2 days, is that Devontae Smith's going to need a contract extension, assuming that he is going to be your number one. He doesn't take any steps back. Okay, so he'll need a contract extension. Then if you take a receiver in the first round this year, then he progresses and develops, then you're going to have to pay him a ton of money. And, you know, so you're going to have to give these guys new contracts in back-to-back years.
They did it before, Deshaun and Macklin.
Yeah, they have, and the salary cap's supposed to go up. So, but you have to really believe that you're going to develop these two guys to the point where, yeah, they're going to earn second contracts with you. And then you have to look at the books and look, 4 years or 3 years down the line and say, okay, can we afford them with what other contracts we have floating around at that point? And what are our needs going to be at other positions? I mean, to build a roster is not just looking at this year and this free agency and saying, oh, we're going to suck because we didn't sign anybody in free agency. It's looking 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road. It's having that foresight to know and understand what your contract situations are going to be. And that impacts the draft and that impacts free agency. It all plays in, and it's hard for fans to see that unless you're really analytically minded to understand how the contracts work, who has how many years left on their deal and what their projection is. Are they going to earn a second contract with the Eagles? Are they going to let them go in free agency? So there's so many things at play here. I'm just saying that with the draft, you have to be very, wary of that. Okay, we take another receiver, and he's as good as Devontae Smith is going to be. Then we're going to have to pay two receivers big money to keep him in town. What about Jalen Hurts? What about our quarterback situation in 3 years? What's that going to look like? So these are all the balls in the air that you're looking at, and that's why you don't see a lot of teams like double dipping at the same position in ensuing years or back-to-back years. Now here we're looking at three receivers and three straight drafts in the first round.
2020 is a wash, though. Forget it.
Yeah, never gonna you're pan right. 2020 is a wash, but you do have to kind of factor all that in, is what I'm saying.
No, I that's a very, very valid point. Very great points, if you ask me, for sure. Especially when you have to consider the fact that even if it's Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, they have to pay a quarterback soon then.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to find that guy.
And if he is the guy, then they're going to have to sign him after this year. So, you have to factor all that money in. You're going to have guys coming on and off the books, of course. So, it's looking at the roster 3 years from now. And that's what Howie and his front office guys are doing, is they're not just looking at this year. They're looking at years beyond.
But I would, with the way that football is going, because everybody wants this to happen. So don't take this the wrong way, what I'm saying, because if you don't think the Eagles want this to happen, you're incredibly wrong. Jalen Hurts is going to have to take a leap as a passer to become the Eagles franchise quarterback. He's going to have to. If he does, in this era of football, it's a passing era of football. I can look around the league right now and tell you probably a handful of teams that are paying two wide receivers right now top money. Or at least both their wide receivers are getting paid a large amounts. That's just it's what football is predicated by now. You have to have two top wide receivers in this passing era of league. You have to have a Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. You have to have a Cooper Kupp, OBJ. You have to have a Jamar Chase, T. Higgins. You have to have those guys. That's what you have to have. It doesn't have to be two wide receivers because Kansas City has Tyreek and Kelsey, but Kelsey's more of a receiver, you've asked me anyways.
Yeah.
It's like Goddard is really, really the number two wide receiver on the Eagles is Goddard. So I'm not saying the Eagles don't have that guy. I'm not saying you have to go get him in the first round, theoretically speaking. But if I'm envisioning the cap long term, like you're saying, I would think you have to have two premium pass catchers. But maybe they probably see Dallas as that, and they would be right to do so.
Right.
So that's a very good point. Very good logic to that. Maybe that's why they won't take wide receiver the first round this year, and we'll wonder why. Because I think a lot of people are actually hoping for it now with how the offseason has gone on wide receiver. But I am I would not be surprised they don't go in the first round. I would be surprised if they don't take one in day two, though, at least.
We'll see. Yeah, and there's good receivers that'll be there. Like you mentioned a couple names. I like Jalen Tolbert from South Alabama a whole lot. So, yeah, there'll be good names there.
I like Dotson from Penn State, too. If they want
to. Yeah, Jahan Dotson, he could be there, yeah.
Want to continue the trend of bringing home players that are from your area, go ahead. That's fine with me. Bringing in a Penn State guy again, like Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us, guys. We just wanted to have this quick debate about, obviously the Zach Pascal signing. We were so happy that Fletcher Cox is back, so we wanted to reiterate that after our last episode was pretty a downer on that. And then, of course, this wide receiver debate about if wide receivers are turning down the Eagles because if Jalen Hurts is a run-centric quarterback and a run-centric offense. But I think we cleared that up debate pretty well. I think we did. I'll pat ourselves on the back for us for that one. I thought that was a pretty good back and forth on that one. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, make sure to go on betonline.ag, promo code BELIEVE, for 50% off your initial deposit. I mean, excuse me, 50% matching on your initial deposit during this March Madness. Win some money with Eagles Unfiltered. Go to betonline.ag. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you soon.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.